Spencer with the two-point ball.
Number 17, soon to be raised to the Raptors. Loose ball, Brown for the tie. Oh,
got it. Man.
Miracle here. And drives down and throws it down. Wow.
Benertine Nation, another episode. Almost 1,000 total plays. That's
yeah,
crazy.
I know. I've been keeping track of this since 700. I really like over the summer. No, when we first started in like September, we'd get like 6 listeners. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then it just picked up gradually, and like in early January, it just picked up. And I've just been following it since then. We should have, I'd say, like 1,000 by the next one or two episodes away.
That's great. So for everyone who's listening, this is our 31st episode. I just looked. Thank you to everyone who listens. Like, if you listen to every episode, or if you like found the podcast, or I told you about it, and you like listening to the episodes, like, thank you. We appreciate you. Like, DM us on Instagram. Like I said, I say like almost every episode. DM us on Instagram. Benertine Pod. We answered the DMs.
One of us will return.
There.
Most likely him, but yeah, one of us will answer.
Like,
what was that? That was my Zion account, and then so it was a Duke account, then it was a Zion account, then it was a Semi account, and now it's Banner 18.
Yeah,
it's kind of
a circle. But yeah, Banner 18 Pod on Instagram. We will answer DMs like if you have any questions, and obviously like we each have our Celtics pages. But yeah, I kind of want to get into the episode. Okay, so starting off, we're gonna do our monthly power rankings, and a couple notes on this real quick. So first of all, we were gonna do it last week. Like, I was gonna remember to do it last week, but then I was thinking about like how it was just after the trade deadline, and
if we did it honestly though, the Celtics still aren't on my list, by the way, but if we did it last week, they would have been much lower.
Yep,
like, much lower.
Like, no, so hear me out. So the reason I kind of pushed it off until this week is we're still doing it. This is our March into April rankings. It's only April 5th. Like, there's still got 25 days left. But basically, I was thinking, like, it had just been the trade deadline, and I wanted to see how different players adapted to the teams. And there wasn't too many major moves, but, like, there was enough where it was like, let's just see what happens.
Was Fournier's debut the Pelicans game?
Yes.
Yes. So, he went over 10 that game. Yes. And I remember, like, all the rest of the week, people, before the Rockets game, I'll say that, before the Rockets game, people would be like, Fournier sucks. Why did we trade for him? This was a terrible trade.
After the game.
And then all of a sudden the Rockets game happens. I literally said to so many people, just give him time. He hasn't practiced yet. He's been all over the place. Just give him a few. Like, he was like Orlando to OKC to Milwaukee to Boston. Like, I was like, just give him some time. He'll get into a flow.
I was at the game last night. It was so fun to watch.
He hit
Fournier
10 straight threes. And then misses like his first three out of 10. Like, he's 9. What? Well, no. He's 10 for 11 for his last 11 threes. That's ridiculous.
Like that's that high offensive rush you needed. Also, I noted this. Like, I feel like it's not him directly, but ever since we got Fournier, or ever since the trade deadline, even though we've lost, I think we've had better ball movement than we've had most of the season. Because most of the season it's been always hucking up shots. Now it's hucking up shots on most possessions, but there's better ball movement. I noticed that.
And what I've noticed with watching the game, you were a few seconds ahead of me yesterday, which kind of sucked. Obviously, you were a bit ahead of me, but like sometimes you'd send me stuff and I'd hear like Terry Rozier, and then all of a sudden he hit a shot in the game. I was like, shit. So, no, going back to the passing, I liked what I saw from the Rockets and Hornets game. Let me just go on that. Those were probably two of the best Celtics games I've watched all year. And I get it. The Hornets were depleted, and the Rockets suck.
But that's the thing though. Like, I was listening to 98.5 this morning, and they had mentioned this. Like, at least we're destroying the bad teams. Like, it's like we used to be concerned.
That's what we were supposed to do.
Exactly.
We weren't destroying the bad teams.
We're finally taking, like,
we'd either lose to them or beat them by like 2-3 points.
Like, if you're winning games by, like, I always go by, if, like, a win is a win, a loss is a loss. If you lose by 1 point, it's still a loss. If you lose by 30, it's still a loss. But in this scenario, like, in this case here, there's some significance behind the Celtics winning by, like, 30 yes. last night.
The Celtics are 4-2 since the trade deadline. And I just want to make a note of this. From the Mavericks game, I want to say, not even the Mavericks game, from the first Bucks game to now, our bench has just become much better.
All right, hold on. I want to get into the top 10. I want to get into our, like, top 10 for rankings. We're going to get into more of that, like, the more depth of Celtics talk in a little bit. But, all right, so, like, a couple more notes on, like, the top 10 teams. So, basically, this is for, like, the month of April and, like, the best teams we think now. But keep in mind, this is not playoff projections. This is, like, right now in this moment. So, like, for example, the Lakers are not in my top 10 because LeBron and Anthony Davis are injured. In the record, they're great, obviously. And, like, once AD and LeBron come back, they're going to continue to be good. But, like, right now, in this moment, for this month, they are not a top 10 team. Because without LeBron and AD, they're not a top 10 team. Like, if that makes sense. So, keep that in mind. It's kind of for – it's, like, looking ahead for the month of April and, like, in this moment. Which is right now April 5th when we're recording this, when it's going to be released. So, keep that in mind. But – I want to go first. I have no honorable mentions. This is kind of hard. But I'll go from the top down, because the top is kind of easy. Like, top is kind of more clear. I'll get into a little bit of an explanation. I can't speak. Explanation for the lower teams. So number one, Jazz. Number two, Nets. Number three, Suns. Number four, Clippers. Number five, 76ers. Number six, Nuggets. Those are some of the more top tier teams, like, record-wise in the NBA. And it's just that they're performing very well. They're all playing well. Like, the Lakers would be there, too. Number seven, Trailblazers. Dame's MVP candidacy is solidifying more every day, every game I watch him.
Mm-hmm.
Dame has an MVP campaign, especially this season. Like, there's no clear MVP season. There's going to be MVP fatigue when it comes to Giannis.
I don't think there should be fatigue when it comes to Giannis.
There will be, though. There always is after back to back, because Giannis won the last 2 years. For those of you that don't know that, if you forgot, Giannis won the last 2 years.
I know there will be, but there shouldn't. If he keeps playing like voter fatigue, I
hate voter fatigue, but it's so like, if you look in the past, after back to back years, the player never wins the third year, even if they have an MVP type season. Like,
he could win, and I think it's so stupid that you could put up like 40-15 and yet your team is 70 wins, but you're not winning your third straight. He should win his third straight MVP, and I don't want him to solely because I want to see someone else win it. That's the voter fatigue right there, but he should win it. Like, Giannis should be the MVP this year. I don't think that should be a debate right now.
I don't know. I think we might do an MVP kind of. We already did some midseason predictions. If you want, I think that's two episodes ago. But like, I think we might next episode we might do like a bit of like a debate on some of the awards, especially MVP, because it's an interesting conversation. Like I said, Trailblazers at 7. Dame MVP candidacy solidifying. Watch some Trailblazer games. Like, just watch for Dame. He's playing great. Number eight, I have the Celtics because it's gonna sound biased. I usually hate on the Celtics. Like, but right now I think this team actually, like, ever since the trade deadline, I think this team has seen a lot of even in the losses, I think this team has a lot more upside than we did before. And it's not even like the moves we made. It just feels like something shifted. It's like we were kind of heading in this like dark path of like, you know, make a trade. Like, I think part of it is everyone was so focused on Danny Ainge making a trade, which brings kind of negative energy into the locker room when it's like, all right, someone's going to get traded because the teams are not good enough. Like, I think that has an effect on the players, which in turn might have affected on the court a bit. Like, I don't really know. I think there's some correlation there. If you're following what I'm saying, I think there's a correlation between players knowing there's a trade coming up. Because obviously we're going to make a move. And Tice Green and Teague were the ones that had to suffer the trade. But I think just overall there's a shift. Like we have new locker room presences in Wagner, Fournier, and Cornette. But I think the Celtics right now for the month of April have a lot of upside. Like we're seeing things from them that we hoped to have seen earlier in the season, but we didn't. Number nine, I have the Mavericks. I think everyone knows they started the season in a huge slump. They're definitely recovering. They're six games above 500, which doesn't quite do it in the West, like to the potential they have. But like KP, like I don't even know what to say about KP. But he almost got traded. Luka, he's turning it around. I think the team as a whole is turning it around. Like I think the Mavericks are a very solid team. 10, the Heat, I would say, because like they've had their injury recoveries, they've had players coming back, and same thing as the Mavericks, kind of except in more of an injury like spotlight. They just seem like a team that's coming back, very solid team. Watch out for the Heat in the playoffs again. And I know you think that last year's run was a fluke, but like.
I don't.
Oh no, you think it's not a fluke. It's because it's one of like everyone has like a strong opinion one or the other. I don't think it was a fluke. But I do think that it's good this year, especially with the Nets. But the Heat are like people don't realize it, especially with Oladipo after the deadline. The Oladipo deal is less significant than people are making it out to be, but it definitely. It definitely does solidify them even more as a top 10 team right now. And they already have Hera who's coming off the injury still. He's recovering and he's young. He's going to get better. You have Jimmy Butler who's definitely off the injury and honestly almost developing an MVP campaign, like, you know, 1% chance, I think it is. But yeah, that's my top 10. Yeah, I can't speak right now. That's my top 10.
All right.
Speaking too fast. I apologize for listeners at all.
Okay. This is simple to go through. 1, Nets. 2, Jazz. 3, Sixers. 4, Bucks. 5, Suns. 6, Clippers. 7, Nuggets. 8, Blazers. 9, Mavs. 10, Miami. Simple right there. I'm not if you wanted me to tell you where the Celtics are, they're somewhere from 11 to 14, somewhere in between with them, the Knicks, the Hawks, and the Spurs.
I was thinking about the Hawks because the Hawks are technically they're in the same kind of bubble as the Heat.
The Hawks are like last year's Raptors. Like they have the talent, but their recent win streak was against like 7 teams who were under 500. Like, yeah. The Raptors' 16 game win streak. This is when immediately when we played them the first round, the second round. This is when I knew we'd beat them. Their 16 game win streak, which they all gloated about. I think they had played like 2 teams 500 or above. That's when I was like, no, we're beating this team.
Yeah.
Now, it's iffy, but like. Whatever. But did you have the Mavs in yours? I didn't.
Yeah, I have the Mavs in 9. Yeah, I went through like a lot of explanation for each.
You basically explained we had the same, basically the same.
Yeah, I just have the Celtics at 8 because, you know, I see too much upside for them not to be at 8.
Yeah, I see upside, but I don't see them. I still have their final record being, how many games did we play this year? 72?
I think it was 10 games less than normal.
72 minus 43 and 29 is unreasonable.
I had them
10 games above 500, not 13.
I think we're gonna
41 and 31. That was my record. It's 41 and 31.
I think like 10 games over 500 is the most reasonable, but unsure record possible.
Well, the only reason I'm saying this is because the rest of our schedule, pending we don't just blow it like we did in the beginning of the season, is... All right. Hold on. Celtics schedule. Okay. The rest of our schedule, the next three games, we play the Sixers, Sixers, Knicks, and Timberwolves all at home. We should at least beat the Timberwolves.
The Knicks is going to be a good game because...
The Knicks is a... Honestly, with Kemba, with Kemba right now, it's a back-to-back, the Sixers and Knicks. Rest Kemba in the Sixers game and play him in the Knicks game.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're going to lose to the Sixers unless Rob Williams stops Embiid, which is my hope to God he does.
That's going
to
be – yeah, no, I'm excited for the Sixers and the Knicks game. The T-Wolves game, it'll be interesting.
They have D'Lo back.
It'll be interesting, but, like, I'm excited for the Sixers game because it's going to be a real – like with all of this upside, like I just talked about,
uh-huh.
It's going to be interesting to see. Now we're going to go up against third best record team, or tied for third best record team in the NBA. You know, we'll see.
And then
we'll see what happens
after the Timberwolves game. We go on a 3-game road stand at Denver, at Portland, and at LA.
That is rough.
The LA game, which is actually pissing me off. The LA game is the game they're raising their banner.
But wait, are LeBron and AD going to be back for that game?
No. No, I didn't say this. AD's out for the season. He's not coming back. That's they're hiding his Achilles injury. He tore his Achilles. I'm not a doctor, but I think he tore his Achilles. Like, I'm gonna get hated on for saying this, but I really do think he tore his Achilles, and I think they're hiding that. I think they want to say like, oh, he'll be back, just so people can get hope for it. But I think he tore his Achilles. Like,
yeah, that. Know. If that's the case, that's actually really unfortunate, especially because the Lakers are, they're obviously our rivals, but honestly, if, like, it's fun seeing the competition.
Uh-huh.
And
LeBron won't play that game, but Drummond, I'm guessing, will play that. Drummond always gets killed by Rob, so I'm hoping for that. Nuggets game, we've beaten the Nuggets already.
Oh, they have Drummond and Trez, though. That's the thing.
Blazers game.
Wait, when is Tristan Thompson coming back?
Because he'll probably be back in the next game.
When he comes back, he's gonna be starting again.
I said the next game. He won't start.
I don't know. I love Rob starting, but
what I've been thinking recently is the next game. I know we got blown out by them last time, but it was Kemba's first game. We didn't have Tatum. I don't think we had any of our other guys. Like, I think we sold a bunch of guys in COVID protocols.
That was one of the worst games of Celtics basketball I ever watched. But honestly, I think it's gonna be a good game because Knicks players fight hard this season. I've talked about this before. Like, the Tom Thibodeau effect is one of the most interesting coaches in the NBA with his mindset, and I think that's part of the reason why they have so many wins. They're under
injury report came out for tomorrow.
Who's playing? Or who isn't playing?
Who was on the semis playing? That's it. Tristan's not on it. Tristan's still on the injury report. Semi's not on it anymore.
All right. That's nice. But like I was saying, with the Knicks, like, they're kind of an under-talented team, but they're getting a lot of wins because they're playing hard, and that's why I don't want to see against the Celtics, because the Celtics need to, like, take on, honestly, like, how the Knicks are playing, like, take on that mindset of just, better ball movement, try harder on defense, because our defense is bad. Like, a lot of people don't realize it, but our defense is not very good.
No.
Some people would honestly call our defense underrated because we have Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. Our defense is...
So Smart's finally playing good defense again.
No, and I'm not saying Smart is the upside of our defense. Our defense is not bad, like player by player. We're not a no. team we're not a team where you would think this team's gonna be impossible to score, or this team's gonna be really easy to score. But like as a team, it's bad defensively. Like some possessions, I'm just like, how did we let that happen? How did we let that happen?
So yeah, I'm looking through. So Semi's the only player. Semi, we get back tomorrow. So what's the rotation now? It's same starting five.
Langford will get more minutes than last night, hopefully.
Then Pritchard. Who's our backup shooting guard? Pritchard. Pritchard, Fournier, Semi,
Grant,
and Cornett.
Cornett slash Wagner.
No, it's Cornett now.
Officially, I mean.
Yeah, it's officially.
He can hit threes.
So can Wagner.
The money Cornett, bow picture is one of the funniest pictures.
But you were at the game last night. You should have seen Cornette got more minutes.
He definitely Mo Wagner came in and like once it was like
Wagner came in.
Yeah, that's Wagner, what I was about to say. He came in like the 25-point lead at time, and I was like, ooh.
Sean Grandy said this last night. The what's it called? The garbage minutes thing isn't really like. I don't really like the term, but just because like, I get the term because of it, but. Some of the players who go in there are like showing things that like they've been working on. Like some of these players, like they barely get minutes in the rotation and they get to go in and show you what they've been working on.
Yeah, but the reason it's called garbage time is because like, but like the thing is you're going against other garbage time players because all
our upcoming schedule after this Timberwolves, even with this Timberwolves game is like ridiculously hard. And then I think it just gets so much easier. Yeah, after this Timberwolves game, after April 23rd's game, the schedule gets easier. So our upcoming schedule is 76ers, home against the Sixers, home against the Knicks, home against the Timberwolves, in Denver, in Portland, in LA for the
Lakers.
Yeah, that's
rough.
Home against Golden State, home against the Bulls, home against the Suns, in Brooklyn, and then it's... That was the 23rd game. It was a Brooklyn game. But then it's Hornets, Thunder, Hornets, Spurs, Trailblazers, Magic, Bulls, Heat, Cavs, Timberwolves.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, no. I think we can finish 10 games above 500, but it's going to be interesting to watch. I'm watching every game more attentively now. Like, I don't know why, but ever since Fournier, he's made – the most subtle but important impact, I feel like. I don't know why, but like it feels like that because he's been shooting the lights out after going over 10. He's now, like you said, he's 10 for his last 11 shots, or for last 11 threes, I should say. Like it feels like he doesn't miss, which is exactly what you want, especially coming off the bench as 6'7" shooting guard. That's exactly what you need.
Yeah, I get that.
But
I still would have liked if we can get Fournier and Aaron Gordon, but you know, I'll take Fournier. Like that's a huge W move.
All right. I want to get into some NBA hot takes. Actually, no.
We'll take a break and then we'll get into that.
All right.
You do your
real quick. Y'all know I gotta do the Juicy Jersey ad. Because, honestly, if y'all are not considering... I just ordered from Juicy Jerseys, like, 4 days ago. I ordered a Peyton Pritchard jersey off of Juicy Jerseys. And you might be thinking, why would you buy a Peyton Pritchard jersey? That's a stupid idea. Well, guess what? They're, like, $40. Why wouldn't you cop a Peyton Pritchard jersey for $40? Like, if y'all are probably thinking, as soon as you hear you bought a Peyton Pritchard jersey, you bought one for $100. You spent $130 on a Peyton Pritchard jersey. No, I spent $40 because if you go to juicyjerseys.com, they have, I love saying this term, high quality, low price jerseys for sale. High quality, low price jerseys at juicyjerseys.com. Like that, I guarantee you they have your favorite player. They have like they have Peyton Pritchard. They take requests. Damn, I requested Pritchard because I was like, I really want a Pritchard jersey, but I don't want to pay $130. I know Juicy Jerseys listens to, like, their customers, so I DM'd him, and I said, yo, can you guys add a Peyton Pritchard jersey? He added it right away. Green icon jersey. Love to see it.
We'll be right back.
Forgot. The best part, of course, is to use code BANNER18 at checkout. All caps, no spaces, code BANNER18 at checkout. I just made a post about it on Celtics.edge. I'm going to post it on BANNER18 pod Instagram as well if you want to see more details. We'll be right back. We back. I wanted to get into some NBA hot takes from...
Before we get into that, I just want to let you hear what happened with Kelly Oubre.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this incident.
Yeah, so, oh, and he called... Oh, my God, he commented on it, too. Oh, he called Cap on it. Okay, so, Basically, Kelly Oubre was asked after the game, like, what's going to happen if Klay comes back? Are you willing to come off the bench? And Kelly was like, I'm more than a bench player. I'm not coming off the bench. And some unnamed Warriors player, it was 100% Draymond, by the way. An unnamed Warriors player said, Andre Iguodala, a finals MVP, was okay with coming off the bench, but we have Kelly Oubre who won't. An unnamed Warriors player, which 100%
was Draymond. Yeah, I guarantee it was. Because he's the only one that would have the guts and authority to say that.
You really think Eric Pascal is going to come out and say that?
Hey, no disrespect to Eric Pascal, by the way. But I agree. But it's just, it's definitely Draymond, because when you think about it, like, Draymond's going to tell you, he's going to tell you how it is. He's straight up.
Draymond's the loudest in the locker room. Like, Draymond and Steph are the only two you'll really hear from that team. Wiggs has been quiet since his rookie year.
Steph
Curry's there.
He's too nice. So you don't hear about Steph Curry beefing with players because he's just too nice. No. Like, he just wants to have fun on the court. Yes. Draymond wants to win.
Draymond 100% said that. Anyways, getting to the hot takes.
So these are all from the last 4 hours on Twitter. I'm only gonna read the ones that I think have some reactability. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have neither the Lakers or Clippers will come out of the West. It will be the Nuggets. I disagree.
An LA team. Depends. Is LeBron coming back? If LeBron does not,
you also left out the Jazz and the Suns, who are the two best teams in the league right now.
Yeah, I'd say. It depends. Like, if LeBron and Anthony Davis come back,
yeah, there's a good chance that'll be them. Yeah.
If LeBron and Anthony Davis come back, they're coming out. But they're coming out of the West. I think it'll be with the Clippers. My situation with the Clippers is that if the Clippers if the Clippers choke again, they're obviously going to get killed for that. But I just don't see the Clippers really losing this time. Like, they've gotten much better. Paul George is at an MVP level right now. I honestly don't see the Clippers really losing right now. Not in the West. Don't exaggerate my words there. I still see them. I still have the Nets winning it all. What's funny is I've had the Nets winning it all since just Kevin Durant, Kyrie.
I mean, yeah, it was logical then, and it's much
and
more.
And now we have James Harden, Nicholas Claxton's got better, Jeff Green's got better.
They also added Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Joe Harris has become an elite 3-point shooter again. LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin. Yeah, it's 100%
perfect. Oh, but this kind of really set. So this guy had a part two to his take. The Nets defense will cost them the playoff run, and they will lose to either the Heat or the Sixers in the playoffs. That is a cold take if there ever is one. they're definitely aren't going to lose to the Heat in the playoffs. I think the Heat are probably the second round exit to the Nets this year. The Sixers, I can see your argument.
I see so many people say, specifically Sixers fans, say, "Oh, the Sixers are coming out of the East because the Nets don't have defense." I mean, the Rockets didn't have defense a few years ago. They nearly got to the finals. Chris Paul's injury cost them the finals run.
And I hope you guys realize, like, the thing is, right now the Nets, they're playing, if you look at their injury report every night, KD is not playing. Harden's playing, like, some games.
KD's not playing. Harden's in and out. Shamit's been in and out. Yeah.
Blake Griffin is out for injury management. Like, they are choosing to play their players when they want to play.
Because of
how much talent they have. They're going to save everyone for the playoffs. I think they're looking to go 16-0. Or is it 16?
Yeah, it's 16.
It is 16-0. They're looking, like, honestly, it looks like they're trying to go 16-0 in the playoffs right now. Like, injury management, like, Blake Griffin is healthy enough to play, but he is not because his injury is being, kind of like the Kawhi situation, like, load management, except they're using the injury to kind of load manage Blake Griffin because they don't need him to win. They want to save all of their players because a lot of their players are injury prone. To be fair, like KD is especially more injury prone now. Blake Griffin is an injury prone player, so they're trying to like save them for the playoffs. But like, I think the Nets are going to try to go like 16-0. The playoffs are going to be crazy. All right, on to the next take. This is an interesting one. Kyle Kuzma, or like a Kyle Kuzma type player, or Kyle Kuzma himself, is a 25 point per game scorer on a team like the Pistons,
no,
or like a Pistons like situation. I agree.
If he was a 25 point per game scorer in the Pistons situation, why isn't he a 25 points per game scorer on the Lakers right now?
Because there's LeBron, AD, and Montrezl Harrell.
LeBron and AD are injured, and Montrezl Harrell doesn't count.
But like the whole, like I mean, I think he means for like the whole season.
Kyle Kuzma is not that good. Like,
yeah, but I'm not saying these. It would be like a solid 25 points per game. Like, it would be emphasized. Like, I love Jeremy Grant. I think we should have pursued him. But I will admit, Jeremy Grant's stats this season are kind of empty. Like, they're not like they.
Are you kidding? They're empty. Like.
No, they're not. Yeah. They're not totally empty. Like they show development because he's a very talented player.
They're not completely empty.
And it's clear that once he got off of
But he's not on any other team. He's not a 25 point.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
that's but like I think a player like Kuzma, like he has
on the Magic. He's 20. On the Magic, Jeremy Grant's a 30 point per game scorer.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Sixers should trade Ben Simmons if they have another disappointing playoff run. I actually kind of agree, but kind of disagree. And this is like for the off season, obviously. I agree in the sense like you, like they should look into it, but you have to you can't, like when you're trading Ben Simmons, you can't trade him for more depth because that's what you're going to be offered right away. You're going to be offered, like, solid pieces. You're going to be offered solid pieces and some picks. Like, no, you need – the Sixers are going to have to actually trade up. They're going to have to probably throw Ben Simmons, one of their bench pieces, a pick, and try to trade up for, like, almost – like a almost superstar if they're really going to try to go after it. Because the Sixers in 18-19, the Raptors playoff run, that could have been the Sixers. They blew it. Last year they got swept. They didn't have Ben Simmons in the first round. Still would not have mattered. They got swept in the first round. Like, I think they should definitely look into it, but I think they shouldn't look to trade. I don't think they should look to trade Ben Simmons just because they want to make a move. Like, they should look to, like, trade for a superstar using Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I'm looking through some of these. I just searched up hot take and just NBA hot take and just to see some of them. Yeah, some of them are cool. Hot take, D'Angelo Russell's Golden State Warriors run is the most forgettable run in NBA history.
Well, I agree, because he played for half a season, and he was the second to Steph Curry.
Like, no, Steph Curry didn't even play, but...
That's D'Lo true, he was injured.
D'Lo had, like, a great season, though. Like, he put up 52 one night.
Yeah, but to be fair, that was, like, on a bad Warriors team where he got traded in the middle of the season to a even worse team. So it is one of the most, like, forgettable kind of runs. All right, hold on. I got another one here. Ben Simmons and Andre Drummond are two of the most disrespected NBA players on this app, or like Twitter, and NBA community as a whole, whose strength ignored due to people focusing on their silly and inconsequential flaws instead of their actual flaws. I kind of agree, but Ben Simmons is not disrespected. Like, he's actually more overrated than he is underrated. He's more overrated than he's disrespected.
I found the tweet you're looking through.
Yeah,
I found the tweet.
Yeah, because I just looked up NBA hot takes and I was looking for one from the last like 5-6 hours.
Did you see this one? I might be following this guy. I think this way. Jamal Murray's better than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Oh, it's to the Thunder. It's just to the Thunder fan.
All right, hold on. I want to finish my take on this. Andre Drummond is more overrated than he is disrespected by far. Ben Simmons, I can kind of see what you're saying.
It's the tweet you're looking at saying Ben Simmons and Andre
Drummond. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, I can agree. But
Andre Drummond puts up the numbers, right? He puts up the good numbers. Like, if you're just a box score watcher, Drummond is your guy.
And you're thinking, oh, man, I really want this guy on my team.
But when it contributes to winning basketball.
And if you're watching, like, the games, eye test. You know I love the term eye test.
Yeah, no. Andre Drummond's not a good player. Just watch the Cavs games. Like, he's terrible. Two, three years ago, yeah, I could say he's a good player. He's not. His offense is... And defense is, I don't defend, let me just grab the rebounds for you. I can jump up and grab the rebounds. That's all I can do for you. I can't guarantee layups. I can't really guarantee dunks, but I will get the layups for you. And that's his whole offense, and it's so annoying. And that's his defense. It's just annoying to watch that, and that's why I really didn't want him in Boston after preseason. Before the season, not the preseason, but before the season, yeah, I would have wanted him. This season happens. No, I don't. I didn't want him. Like, I just didn't.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna do. I found another take here. Westbrook is still a top 5 point guard. Oh my, that is.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Look at the team he's on. He has I mean, like the like that. They're terrible outside of them, but still, if you're a top 5 point guard in the East, though, you gotta be better than that.
Do you want me to use this on Jason Tatum?
Yes.
So, yeah, exactly. That's the point. Russell Westbrook's been great recently. Like, his recent performances have been unreal. Like, he had a game the other night with 35, 20, and 14. That's a ridiculous – like, Russ has been great recently. If he can keep this up, he'll be a top 5 point guard. I'd say at the end of the season, yeah, he'll be a top 5 point guard again. Right now? It's debatable. I could still.
Yeah, but his impact on winning is so little.
Do you consider Luka point guard?
Point guard, shooting guard. Like, I consider either, like, point guard, shooting guard.
Okay, so then it'd be Steph, Dame, Luka,
Harden.
Harden. It's Kyrie, and then probably Chris Paul. Nah, Chris Paul's more winning.
Yeah, but I think that has more significance. I think Chris Paul is... I'd rather have Chris Paul on my team than Russ Westbrook this season. No doubt.
I'm trying to think of other players. Who were the All-Star starters in the West?
It was
Luka and Steph.
Yeah.
And then Dame.
I mean, what...
I think it's Chris Paul. I don't...
It is. Chris Paul is definitely better.
Unless you want to say Ben Simmons, but I don't think Ben Simmons. Kyle Lowry's not that good this year.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet's shot selection is worse than Marcus Smart's. That's another thing. If you think Fred VanVleet's the best player in the Raptors, that's another problem. His shot selection is terrible. But I saw this other one. It said Bradley Beal is one of the most overrated players in the NBA today. Jaylen Brown, Paul George, SGA, Devin Booker, Kyrie, and Donovan Mitchell are all better.
Then who?
Bradley Beal.
I thought you said, okay. No. No. I understand the take because everyone thinks that Bradley Beal is just a scorer, but, like, do you see the scoring he's doing? Like, it's crazy.
I get that, but it's the other thing with Russ. If you want to say he's not impacting winning, Russ isn't.
I don't think Beal's a very good player because of, yeah, he does not have an impact of winning clearly because of the last few years he's been number two to John Wall, so he's never had to lead the team. It's always been John Wall until recently.
But the thing is, you can go out and be like, oh, well, then Jason Tatum doesn't impact winning this. Okay, yeah, at least they have a bench. Our best bench player right now is Evan. Hold on. Our best bench player, other than Fournier, is Semi Ojeleye. So, like, you know, we don't really have a bench to go and say that, even though they've been better as of recently.
Also, I feel like there's a kind of a misconception. I feel like the Celtics are not a team where we don't need to be driven by one player. Like, Tatum can miss a game and we can still win. There are teams where...
Nearly beat the Grizzlies, though, too. And Kemba.
Like, we can have a player injured for a bit and we can still be good. Like, Tatum can miss 5 games in a row and we still might... Like, I mean, this season, who knows? But, like... We're more balanced at the top, and there's a big gap between the better players on the team and the worst players on the team, but there's a balance of talent at the top of our team, and that's kind of clear. So, like, that's what, like, Tatum is our leader. He's our best player, and he's very talented, but we don't need to, like, it's gonna sound. I'm going to start to say this without sounding insane.
You were going to say we don't need Tatum, right?
No, like, I was going to say we don't need Tatum to win games. Like, we need Tatum to win games. But, like, if Tatum were to miss, like, a few games, we would not desperately need him back.
Yeah, I get that. All right, I have three right here. Bam Adebayo is a top 20 player. People won't think so because they ignore his ability to guard 1 through 5 at an elite level.
Wait, who?
Bam.
Oh.
Bam
is underrated.
I don't think he's top 20, but I think he's underrated. And I get that. Like, he's a defensive monster.
Yeah, he's not top 20.
Give me 25. He's not 20. Lonzo Ball in the right situation can be a top 30 NBA player. You know?
Yes, definitely true.
I think with Lonzo, so many people looked at him and were like, he's going to be elite right when he walks in the NBA. No. You had to give the guy a few years, like.
Because I think people thought that he would do what LaMelo's doing this season, which is LaMelo's thrown out. He's like, he's putting up great stats and putting up flashy assists. Like, Lonzo didn't do it in the first season. Lonzo's developing.
Jaylen Brown was the third overall pick. People hated that pick. He didn't come out and was immediately a god. It took him 3-4 years. To even become good.
And now he's, like, a 26-point-game scorer.
And then the final one is Joel Embiid is still the MVP right now. Not really.
Yeah. I mean, he was injured for a bit.
My phone died. Yeah. And I think, yeah, his injuries probably killed his MVP race. And then LeBron, honestly, I don't understand how people really saw him as the MVP, but...
It's because he's old.
His injuries also killed his MVP candidacy. So it's really been down to Jokic, who I think is the winner right now, Dame, and Giannis. It's going to be one of those three. And, like, for the first time in, like, a million years, LeBron won't be in the top three.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I want to get into, like, a few questions that I have. First one we have Jaheek12 says, I replied to someone, sorry, I think Taco should be a starter. People, like, seriously think this, and I don't understand it. People, like, really think this. Like, people think Taco should be, like, a genuine starter because he's tall. And because...
Well, you want me to say this? I've been saying this all the time. I've been saying this the last few weeks. Taco's terrible.
Yeah, obviously he's a meme player. Like,
Taco is the definition of a human victory cigar.
He is our human victory cigar. Like, he gets put in the last 5 minutes of
we blood. Don't we. He's just not good. For someone 7'7" to, like, be so bad in the post, to not be able to get rebounds. His free throw shooting's actually been better. But, like, dunking, like, you're not that good at catching lobs. Your defense isn't that great. You draw fouls a lot. I mean, you get foul. You foul a lot. That's the word I was looking for. That's not that good.
Yeah.
In college, obviously, it was easier. Because you're not playing against as skilled players. But once the NBA hits, you're not going to be that dominant force anymore.
Yeah, he's not. Dominant is definitely not a word I would use to describe Taco's first. Like, he's just a meme player. Like you said, it's a victory cigar, this human victory cigar season.
And the Celtics will not cut him.
Because there's no need. There's no need to.
Because he sells you tickets. He sells you main Red Claws tickets.
I mean, he also sells a surprising amount of jerseys and shirts.
Yes. Celtics won't cut him. He's merchandise for them. He's money for them. He's their money. They won't cut him.
And like, he's not like that bad where he needs to be cut. Like, because he can be the human victory cigar.
He still has potential. I'm not cutting him out yet. Like, he still has some potential. But they won't cut him. Like, if you want them to cut, like, for some reason in your mind, you want the Celtics to cut Taco Fall, they won't do it.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd want Taco to cut. I want to move on to the next question, or kind of take. Nate360King says, he always asks questions, so shout out to Nate360King on Instagram. Kemba Walker's starting to find his groove. I kind of agree. It's obviously not going to be the same Kemba Walker like that everyone thinks of.
He's still streaky.
I don't know.
Or inconsistent.
He's inconsistent. I don't know if, yeah. He's showing signs, though. Like, he's kind of coming back. And on the stat sheet might not show it, but.
By the way, with Smart, I was about to say Kemba should take less shots and we'd have a better chance. That's with Smart. The less, if Smart doesn't take open shots, like, if Smart doesn't take these bad contested threes, bad pull-up threes. Like, if Smart can go back to taking when he's wide open threes and just facilitating, we're winning. We're winning games with that.
True.
All right, keep going.
We should sign Otto Porter this off. Oh, WDA. It's like a ton of letters. I'm not gonna pronounce all the letters out. We should sign Otto Porter this year if bought out or in the off season.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Just go to the next one. That's a yes. I don't need to explain why.
I thought that there was a chance we were going to look at trading for him.
No. I was hoping that the Bulls deal would end up being a four-team deal between us, the Bulls, the Wizards, and the Magic. That includes us getting Otto Porter and Evan Fournier. And then the rest is, like, the same. It's like,
yeah,
the Magic get Wendell Carter and maybe like another.
And the Bulls give us a shit. But yeah, I agree. That's a good take. Jack the 12 and 7. Oh, he's on the podcast last week. Asked, "What's your favorite food?" Probably steak.
Chicken.
And then he also put another comment in our kind of take. Celtics new jerseys are not it. Or he means like
which
the
one?
Earned.
The earned. Yeah. I like the earned.
They're solid. I mean, we're still kind of waiting. The last jersey that the Celtics have, that they haven't been forced to have, because every statement jersey is nice. I love our statement jersey, but like the Celtics did come up with that on their own. No, the NBA came up with that. Like the last jersey that the Celtics have had, where I was like, oh yeah, this is like a very good jersey. The earned jersey from 18-19. That I love that jersey. That gold jersey. That's an.
The white one or the green
both,
one?
Both. Either. They're both very clean. But other than that, it's the city jerseys have been. Like, the Parquet one was, like, okay. It was an interesting one.
We had that for, like, 5 days.
I know. We were the. Like, when the city jersey concept was new, that you they barely wore because they wanted to make it more exclusive. But now we wear the city jerseys like every other game. But yeah. I would say for that take, I mean, I don't know, kind of opinionated, but yeah, I would say I'm still waiting for the Celtics to come out with a jersey where I'm like, yes, I really want to buy this jersey because it's this jersey, not because I want to buy a jersey of the player. We haven't seen that in a little while.
I like the banner jerseys. That's an unpopular
opinion. That's an unpopular opinion. I don't like them, but I mean, I think the concept is really cool.
I like, when I got it, like, before I got it, I was in between on them. After I got them, I just liked the jersey. It's just grown on me.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, I think I think the concept is cool, and it's different, but it's not, to me, very visually appealing. All right, I'm gonna move on to the next kind of take, another Kemba take here from KCRowell_0. Kemba has amazing all-star potential, but he just hasn't found his groove style. It's too late.
Next
question. 86.post, he says, if they trade smart in the offseason, I'm no longer a Celtics fan. Tough.
Next question.
Like,
I see your point on that, but like,
don't get so attached to one player, especially a player.
His shot selection.
Yeah. Pretty bad. Yeah.
Kemba's gone, by the way. I just want you all to know that Kemba's gone.
Interesting. All right, we got a wrap.
It's not interesting. They said that they'd be surprised if Danny doesn't trade him in the offseason. Interesting.
We're gonna cover more of the offseason stuff once it's come. But
I wish we got Drew.
I'm still upset about that. But you know, it is what it is.
We could have had Drew and Vucevic.
It is what it is. All right, we got a wrap question next. Dylan_O'Leary23 says Polo G or Lil Uzi Vert. I like Lil Uzi Vert more, but I think Polo G is more talent as a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you listen to Polo, like I feel like Uzi has like Uzi creates more hits, but Polo G, like if you listen to a Polo G song, like he kind of has kind of the same. I think he has like too much of the same flow, and like he needs uh-huh. to kind of switch it up a little bit some more. But like Uzi has classics. Polo G doesn't has some kind of classic for his own discography, but like he's very talented. Like I'll give him that. Like it's auditorially, I think that's the right word. Auditorially appealing because he has good flow.
Yeah.
He has good flow, but he kind of has the same flow. All right, last okay. question, and then we're gonna kind of wrap up. Fan_Rockets says Pats will absolutely flop this year.
No.
Disagree. What?
No.
Strong disagree.
No. They went 7-9 to the high school team. No. Now they have the best tight end duo in the league. A better defense.
We're going to be maybe getting a new quarterback in the upcoming weeks.
If you go by the football, you know, the injury thing, Cam Newton would be 100% by this year. I don't know about him, but... You have the 15th overall pick. Like, your weapons, like, you have Aguilar and Bourne, and Bourne's poised for a breakout year this year. Like, no, they'll be fine. Like, plus, last year, they had the hardest schedule in the league, and they went 7-9.
But you did have statistically the hardest schedule.
Yes, we did have the hardest schedule. Seahawks, we played the NFC West. We had to play the Dolphins twice, the Bills twice, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Ravens, the Niners. And the Niners were healthy when we played them. Yeah, we had the hardest schedule in the league. Like, yeah, well, and now we're playing Brady's division, which other than, and we don't know about the Saints, other than the Bucks and maybe the Saints, that division's a clean. Easy. Yeah, I don't think they'll flop. I think our ceiling is 12 wins and our floor is 9 wins.
He heard it here first from Six Rings Podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But kind of wrapping up, like I said in the beginning of the episode, you know, almost 1,000 plays. I just want to thank all of you for that. And, like, just thank all the listeners. Like, just thank you for listening. I appreciate it. We appreciate it greatly. We got big things coming. Like I said, it's a couple episodes. We got some things in the works. And I'm probably gonna put another order of stickers in. So if you want to be an RG Teen sticker, hit me up.
My stickers are just sitting on my desk right there, and I'm actually wearing the hat. Right
I now. Yeah, I have my sticker on my iPad that I use all the time. Love it. But yeah. Other than that, I don't have anything else. And
no.
Well, actually, I do. Celts, like upside, maybe. Love to see it. I think we have the upside to win the next few weeks. Like, and obviously not win every game, but like, I think we're gonna start to see the record go back up.
Baylor's winning tonight.
No way, Zaga, yes. Easily. What?
Baylor's pulling the upset tonight. Yep.
We'll see.
I took when we had the best bets app, which you know is the currency. Just so
no. Yeah, fake.
It's fake currency.
You bet fake currency.
No real money, and the app shut down.
Unfortunately.
Which is upsetting. No, I put UCLA plus 14. They covered that.
Easily, of course, they covered that. Yep.
I couldn't imagine me UCLA.
That Jalen sucked shot was crazy.
I couldn't imagine waking up in the morning after that shot. Like I could barely wake up in the morning after OG Anunoby hit as game winner. I couldn't imagine waking up after that. A near half court bank in prayer to go to the finals.
In the UCLA, they had, you have such a solid run, and then you're going, like, you're playing one of the best games all season against the team that's, like, everyone thought Zaga was, like, a lock to the finals. Everyone thought they were gonna walk to the finals,
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like you're right there. You're right there. He hits the layup. It's tie game. You're like, oh, yeah, let's go. We can push it to overtime. Oh, and then he hits it's like one of those half court like just throw it up shots. It's
what Jason Tatum did against in the
skills. Exactly. Like it's just one of those throw it up shots. That must be unfortunate. But
I want Johnny to use anything in the first round. By the way,
we'll see.
If he's not a lottery pick, that's what I want.
But, yep. Thank you for all listening. Right. Check out DearBeatBall.com. I'm not going to do the full ad, but...
Just listen to one of the previous episodes, like, at, like, minute, like, 30.
If this is the first time you're hearing one of these episodes, go listen to our most recent episode before this, because I guarantee you, if you listen this far... You clearly enjoy listening to the podcast. So go listen to our old episodes. Yeah, thank you.
Yep.